smashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse. It's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Absolutely.
Good golly, it's Holly. Holly Cox, that is, on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM.
Truly wonderful. In fact, so wonderful, I think I'll play this as well.
Holly Cox, Ed Wellman, Katie Grimason and Alex Levchuk, a fantastic four bringing you the best in audio adventures on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM.
Hope you got the effect of the full echo there. It wasn't recorded in a WC camera, and it's what we actually wanted, that kind of sense of an auditorium, which of course is populated now by the listener and your good self. Isn't that right, Cameron Tilbury?
Let's go with that, and if we believe it, then everybody else will.
If you believe it, they will come. You've already believed in the joys of MapleStar Music and Media. You've got another English branch office opening, haven't you?
We do?
Well, I was just reading the newsletter that said you've got a whole new opening coming through in this. No? Well, there we are. That's a classic case of actually not getting your research right and sorted on the whole thing. We're going to find out from Holly what...
Thank you.
Yeah. shall we start this all over again then and just sort of pick up on something completely different? All right. Okay. Holly, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
What is the situation with the Lincoln Cobra Elite cheerleading squad who in a little over one English month from now will be representing Lincoln proudly in the joys of Blackpool?
Yes. Mm. It's been really, really good for the past couple of weeks. I know I've not been here. I think it's about a month now. It's really bad. Yeah.
We did the jingles for her and then suddenly...
I disappeared. Yeah. No, we've completely finished our routine now, so... That's really exciting. We've got our music as well, so we've been doing it to music. We had practice in a different place yesterday. We had it at NK Leisure Centre, so it's a bit larger than the gym we use, so we kind of sorted out all our spacing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
nice.
Yeah, our uniform for the newbies haven't come yet, but should come kind of mid-November, so they'll be really excited about that.
And not only have they actually just done that, they've also got a hotel booked for them, Cameron.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know?
It's a hotel just for... Like, I don't know how we've got it, but it's a hotel that doesn't
open
normally.
You're on the Midweek Drive.
I know.
Inevitable. It's the way forward, you know. I mean, Katie, pay attention.
Okay.
You know, never go anywhere unless they actually offer you the suite. Or indeed, when you're on an aircraft, never actually turn right. Always turn left. It's important.
Can I make a suggestion that they, you know, they've got the hotel room, it's going to be all this cheerleading stuff, and can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
You get a hotel room, you make sure the room is near an ice machine, and you fill up your bathtub with ice. And that way you can keep all your beverages nice and cold.
Oh, that is a good idea, actually.
Do you know that's almost...
Maybe you can use the toilet for that.
Yeah. It's rock and roll. Too rock and roll for me, Cameron. Honestly, where are we going with this? It's next week. We've got Nikki Wells' launched birthday thing and celebration of a book and novel.
Yeah.
I'm taken aback because I've just seen a photograph that Katie was showing me of her latest wine tasting exploits. You would not believe it, honestly. It's too... Whoa! Tell us about Jessica Ridley and Highway Cameron.
We saw Jessica last weekend. She was performing at a club here in it's not a club, it's actually a store, but they have a stage and everything, called Two Old Hippies here in Nashville. And she was showcasing for a few industry people, put on a great show, and things are happening for her. She seems like she's back on track again with everything. And this is her latest song. This is called The Highway. Jessica Ridley is on Siren FM.
The way might be the highway, but it's not exactly the M25, is it, Holly?
No.
Because obviously that's just a car park. Katie Grimason, Katie G, what did you make of Highway and Jessica Ridley?
It's good.
Ed?
In the same key as many of ABBA's songs, but nothing in common with ABBA, but rather a lot in common with Shania Twain, I would suggest.
Oh, I think that was your thought as well, Holly, really.
It was, and it sounds like a very good driving song.
Very good driving song, exactly. Though if you travel at that pace in Lincoln City Centre, you'll have an accident. Don't do it, all right? Just be sensible. There we are.
There's a very cool story behind that song. Can I tell it?
Yes, quickly. You can. Go.
There is a satellite, a Sirius satellite, Sirius XM, in the United States and Canada, has a channel called The Highway, and they were looking for a theme song, and Jessica has a regular girls' Friday night poker night, and they were listening, they heard about this thing that they were looking for a theme song, so she wrote this song, and that's it.
And what better theme tune could you actually wish? It's fantastic. Last two questions for Cameron Tilbury, please. Ed!
Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this Wednesday?
Yes, I have. It's always fun.
Trick or treat!
And can we look forward to connecting with you again in a week?
You got it. I'll be back.
Do you want a treat? Do you want a trick? What would you like, Cameron?
I always pull the tricks,
yeah.
Really.
We've got one for you. Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London. Goodbye. Once a year, every year, I always like to have that Warren Zevon song. And I know Cameron Tilbury is devastated that we didn't get a chance to actually use his. I used to be a werewolf, but I'm all right. No!
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
Are there any werewolves in Jersey, Anna?
Not that I know of. We certainly don't have foxes, actually. One of the questions we get asked in the library is whether there are foxes in Jersey, but not a single one, no.
I mean, is this just random souls coming in and saying, excuse me, can you tell me, is there any foxes around here?
Well, we do have, you would not believe what questions we get asked in our library, honestly.
Go on, what ones can you share
idea.
With us? You, I mean, you can't just leave us there. What questions have
okay.
you been asked?
I mean, you know, we accept that there are people out there who are seriously suffering from mental illness. So, you know, apologies to anyone who takes us in a bad way. But a gentleman walked into the library one afternoon and he wore an interesting necklace that had shards of iron filings in it. And he came out straight away with, I am schizophrenic. And so, you know, not an issue. We get people with all sorts of weird, wonderful problems and disabilities. And we don't judge anybody on that score. But he then went on to say that the voices in his head told him that he was the last witch in Jersey to be burnt at the stake. And he came to us to find evidence of this. And so that beggars the question that we have to go and look at 16th, 17th century records of witchcraft trials to try and find proof of his claim. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't.
Oh, no.
And that's the issue. We couldn't find. So what my colleague said, who was sensitive to this, she said, well, maybe there were some cases which were not recorded. So maybe the person that you claim to be was actually executed for witchcraft, but maybe their trial wasn't recorded. So we copped out. We've also had people from Brazil inquire about six-horned sheep that were on the island.
Are these Brazilian people just sort of out for a laugh? So it's like, hey, we want the Copacabana, we want the six-horned sheep.
No, they're docents at universities who are keen on agricultural history of the island. And we also have seaweed-eating sheep locally as well. So we knew about them.
You
but
see,
we,
Ed, it makes your feature, Ed, on dog cloning that we're going to hear about later on in the show pale by comparison, isn't it, really? Ask these genetic engineers about six-horned sheep, and seaweed eating sheep as well.
Exactly, exactly.
But Anna, you've lived to survive the tale. I'd be interested to know, how did hashtag UK Storm affect you? Because you'd have been kind of in the pathway of it, wouldn't you?
Well, on a personal level, I have 7 fencing panels which are down, and it's pretty destructive actually. The area where I live is a little bit exposed, and unfortunately, some trees came down. I mean, it didn't stop the traffic, but it certainly upset a few people whose cars were crushed by trees collapsing and that kind of thing. So it was, I mean, we're coastal, so we also have high tides as well. And there were sandbags all across the south coast because obviously, when that high tide combination plus wind happens, it's an ugly picture. Not good.
It certainly did for British transport in the southern part of the land, in which clearly Richard Fitzwilliams was unable to actually get past King's Cross to actually get up to do his guest session. But never mind. What about yourself, Holly? Did you manage to batten down last week, or did you sort of think, it's okay, I'm a Lincoln Cobra Elite cheerleading person, I can cope with anything?
Well, it was all kind of... It was normal last week, wasn't it? This week, though, my friend did come up from London, and she said... I said to her, all the trains are cancelled, you need to sort it out. And this was at 7:30 in the morning. She must have killed me because she was awake that early. But it was important.
Holly,
I wanted her to come up.
It's because you're a caring person.
Exactly. And she said that she went to King's Cross and it was packed. Mm. And they said, over the tunnel, they said, there's a train to Peterborough. And I think
everybody
just
runs.
A sea of people. She said she was like sat in the aisle, like the train's never been so busy trying to get all these people to Peterborough. So... scary. Yeah.
Maybe they could consider the transport companies strapping people to the outside of the train, I mean, like they did in sort of empire-controlled India. Maybe that's a way they could actually increase profits as well. Just a thought, though. Not to be taken seriously. Katie, your sort of feelings on the storm? Were you disappointed? Did you sort of think, it's all right?
I thought it was media. Being overhyped again.
Overhyped media.
I think because we're stuck here, we don't really see much of it, so...
I don't think Birmingham got any... anything like that.
Well,
just
that's
heavy
the important
rain.
Thing, then, The world can relax as long as Birmingham is clear with the whole thing.
Hurrah, Winnie's Cafe survives.
critical stuff. Time is so tight this week, Anna, because we've also got the Siren News team coming up. We've got to fit in Annette Andre's views from Woodstock and various other bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. But have you got any questions you'd like to put to Holly as she's returned to the show? Thank the Lord about her cheerleading routine that she's gearing up for when, of course, last time we know Lincoln Cobra Elite cheerleading squad finished second. This time we're going for the number
Brilliant.
One slot, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's nothing Olympic about cheerleading, is there anything...
There should be.
There should be. I was thinking that maybe, there should be a move to nominate that as the next Olympic
kind of have a team that went to the Olympics. They had Team GB that went there
to
cheer them on. But competition-wise, I don't know. I think it'd be really difficult to kind of do it because we already have our own kind of nationals and international.
Holly, two words, synchronised swimming. If synchronised swimming can be an Olympic sport, surely cheerleading has to be.
It would be good because obviously it's in old countries, but they do have their own cheerleading worlds in America and all over, kind of everyone goes to that. So that's kind of the Olympics, really.
Yes.
So we do have something like it, yeah.
We'll be speaking to the Chief Executive Officer of the Los Angeles Master Chorale with actually music, which I have to say, Ed, is just mind-blowingly wonderful. I've heard some of the stuff they've sent over to us today, obviously, because I audition material. I don't just throw these things together, despite what people might suggest, and it is wonderful. But the last two questions for Anna are what, Katie?
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, thank you.
And can I look forward to connecting with you next week?
Of course, no problem.
Yay!
Or will you just be kind? Or am I losing my mind? Losing my mind. Losing my mind. Losing my mind.
I say, steady on. It's only the Pet Shop Boys and Lisa Minnelli. In a little precursor to
Annette Andre. ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive with another audio letter from upstate New York.
Quite right, too, because we're actually in a new exciting format structure that we're currently working on with Annette and indeed the fabulous Arthur Weingarten and so on. We look as though we're having a little title, little titlet for this particular piece, aren't we, Annette?
Think so.
Yeah, and that title might be, let's reveal it now, it could be called...
You say it.
I'll go on. I know, it's Out of My Mind.
That's it.
Yeah, Annette Andre, Out of My Mind. So you're losing my mind? Did you see what we did? Oh, never mind. Maybe it sounded better in the production meeting. It'll work, I know. It'll be fantastic. It'll be packaged up with a whole range of wonderful things there. But welcome back to us, Annette. Good as ever to connect with your good self. I won't say trick or treat, but are you getting ready in Woodstock for a little bit of Halloween pumpkin stuff?
Well, frankly, I'm not, but I think everybody else is.
That's
too far away to be doing all of that.
That's the important thing, Annette. You've got dignity at all times. Quick introductions and reminders to who's in the studio. We've got Katie Grimerson.
Hello.
We've got Ed Wellman.
Hi, Annette.
And we've got Holly Cox.
Hello there.
There we are. And we're all desperately keen to find out what delightful thing this month's audio missive from upstate New York, to be precise, Woodstock, featuring your good self, is all about.
Well, it's called Two Rooms with Baked Beans.
Nice. Yeah, let's take it away.
Okay, I've been a sucker for baked beans all my life. Off-the-shelf Heinz 57s, or slow-cooked in an earthen crock, they're near the top of my favourite nursery foods. So, when I saw an essay with baked beans in the title, I quickly tore it out of the paper and popped it in my to-read file. And, of course, it's yellowed there for yonks. Until two photos sent by my daughter in London prompted me to retrieve the clipping. Ah, now there's a non sequitur. But not so, I think you'll agree, once the contents of both the essay and my photos are revealed. Let's take the pictures first, both of my children's new bedrooms, carved out of the unused loft and desperately needed in a house bursting at the seams with the expanding lives of growing children, Nia, 2.5, and Jake, almost 5. I revel in the all-too-sparse times I'm with them in the flesh, and for the hours spent via the grandparents' cyber-savior, Skype. With this miracle of miracles, I've been able to watch the construction process and, at the same time, daydream how each of these tiny people will use and develop in rooms of their own. The bedroom has a special meaning for me, and sleep plays only a minor role. From early childhood, my bedroom served dual use as a sick room and a sanctuary. I had a chronic lung condition which forced me to spend what seemed like solitary confinement in bed for weeks at a time. That small room with a single window looking over a very mundane Sydney street also became my stage, peopled with the rich and varied characters of my invention. And if I had a lonely childhood in reality, I more than compensated for the lack of playmates with an ever-changing company of players on a perpetually sold-out tour of the entire world. One of the great pleasures I looked forward to during those bleak days of incarceration was having a dinner of my mother's baked beans on toast. Not only was it delicious comfort food, but it became first a ritual and then a traditional meal with wondrous healing powers during my illnesses. It's a tradition that I've passed on to my daughter during her bouts with the usual childhood maladies, and in turn, a third generation of my family is now partaking of that tribal custom. So you can see when and how I've come to think of baked beans as much as savory, as a metaphor for well-being in times of distress. And now to that essay with beans in the title. Even as I was detaching it from the paper and tucking it into my file, I was vaguely aware of a disturbing word in that otherwise welcoming headline. And as I plucked it from its resting place, the word war leapt out like a flashing danger sign. The full title now read, War and Baked Beans. And of course, the writer, Robert Olmsted, was employing those beans benignly bubbling away in a clingy sauce as his personal MacGuffin to impart comfort in troubled times. Shortly, Mr. Olmsted informs us, he's to become a grandpa to a girl named Alice. And it was because of this momentous event that his mind shifted from a newspaper headline reporting the war in Syria to boyhood images of his mother stirring the Saturday pot of her baked beans. Although his fond memory of these beans wasn't based on their curative powers as mine is, we still share a deep understanding that this simple, basic food would forever be a counterweight to the complex insanity of the world into which we were both born. Listen to Mr. Olmsted, a novelist and teacher, as he fulminates when adults come down on today's younger generation. Young people do not make war, he writes, or send off killing drones. But it's the young people who fight these wars, and it's the young people who bury their dead. And like Mr. Olmsted, I too feel that for much of my life, it seems somebody has been bombing somebody to teach them a lesson. And if it isn't violence in all its ugly guises, then it's our politicians threatening to harm not only their own country, but to use their misguided power to bring the world to its knees. It's taken a little time for Nia and Jake to settle into their new bedrooms. But now, familiar routines are playing out with comforting regularity, and the newness of their surroundings are less strange and threatening. And therein lies the dilemma for this grandmother, and I suspect for Mr. Olmsted as well in due course. The security of these new bedrooms and how their walls will reflect the growing awareness and imaginations of their small occupants is in my thoughts at the oddest times, but especially when drifting off to sleep and in that delicate balance of here and there, I remember the worlds I created to replace the one on offer. But now, decades later, I know all too well what awaits Nia and Jake outside those freshly painted walls decorated with fairy princesses and racing cars. My flights of fancy were always rooted in the certainty that one day I would walk through my bedroom door and enter a vast world that would welcome a new traveler. And of course, I wish that for my grandkids. But it's a wish edged with apprehension that I can't deny. I've never met Mr. Olmsted, and most likely I never will. But we're bonded by our children and grandchildren and a shared tradition of baked beans as an antidote to the vertigo of inhabiting a planet that often seems to be spinning out of orbit. And so I hope that Nia, Jake, and Alice will discover the joys and excitement of life as a daily performance. And should the curtain get stuck now and then, or a door refuse to open, not to worry. Keep the show running, and don't forget to have a pot of beans simmering on the stove just in case. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who'd like to sample Mr. Olmsted's recipe for his mother's baked beans, I've posted it on my Facebook and blog. Let me know how you like it. That's it.
I think that's fantastic. AnnetteAndre.com is the go-to... Well, it's a website. You can link on there to blogs and various other factors. Ollie, you a baked bean person?
I love baked beans. I love baked beans with sausages in the most. And it's made me want beans so much. So I might go get some.
It's very comforting.
Yeah. Beans on toast, of course. The staple of the whole thing. Katie, you're beans on toast?
I hate beans. Soup's my comfort food.
Soup, right. Yeah. Not bean soup, presumably. Black bean soup?
Vegetables. Right. And lentils.
And lentils. And Ed?
Yeah, I like them, but only when they're cold.
Oh, I love them cold as well. Yeah. I think if I was ever homeless, I think I'd just have beans all the time.
Don't worry, Holly. Whilst there's breath in this body, you will never be homeless.
Just in case, exists. Though. You know, it was a thought, though, when I was eating important. It from the can.
It's critical in every sense of the word. And it's been fabulous as ever connecting with your good self. I say we have Siren News coming up in a few moments. We've got to squeeze in a couple of bits and pieces before then. But Holly, would you like to throw those last two questions to Annette Andre, please?
Annette, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, of course I have.
And can we hope? Oh, lovely! And can we hope to hear from you in the very near future?
Be close, yes, close to Thanksgiving, of course, the next one. You know, trick or treat, Thanksgiving.
Oh,
who
that's
knows?
Right, it is, isn't it? Oh, gosh, yes.
Next week in this slot, we've got Arthur Weingarten sharing marvellous thoughts as well. But first, actually, for our Los Angeles coterie, there's somebody who's living in Los Angeles who actually on Chilpack Hollywood Hour this very week admitted he had never seen the movie This Comes From.